Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom, it's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. It's a great pleasure to have with us Dr. Stephen Bryan, a man that I've known for a long time and admired greatly, notably for his work in public service as well as in the private sector. These days, he is the president of SDB Partners, also a senior fellow in defense studies at the American Foreign Policy Council and a contributor to U.S. News and World Report. We had the privilege of serving together back in the Reagan days in the U.S. Defense Department, where he ran the technology transfer program, or tried to control it, really, as the Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Trade Security Policy. A great American and a welcome guest. It's so good to have you, Steve. Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio.
Thank you, Frank. Glad to be with you.
I caught a piece that you wrote recently that I thought was important, and I'd like to have you discuss it with us a little bit. It talked about basically the question of, do our missile defense interceptors work? And it described at some length the successes that the Israeli missile defense programs have had. I take a certain pride in helping that in a small way during our time in the Pentagon, having negotiated a memorandum of understanding with the Israelis that I think helped them get going on missile defense, but they've made great strides in it. How have they done relative to how we've done, and what should we learn from them?
I think the most important thing is that they've invested very heavily in missile defense, and they've had occasion to use it quite often, both against the smaller rockets like the Qassam rockets that Hamas is throwing at them and the Scuds that are coming and sometimes shot at them by Hezbollah. And then most recently, they've used the Arrow missile against what was probably a short-range ballistic missile very successfully. So they had real-life experience shooting down coming missiles, and their program has been very solid. Both the electronics and the rocket technology has been excellent. And, of course, they've partnered with important American companies like Boeing and Raytheon. So the project has been a great success. It's been supported by the Missile Defense Agency in the United States, by the Congress. So I think that the payoff there is very good. They have real-life experience, and that's what you need in a missile defense program.
You seem to be suggesting that we might actually buy some of these systems for our own missile defense purposes. Did I read that right?
Well, we already are working on some projects. I know Raytheon is working with the Israelis, and they're using the actual rocket from the Arrow 3, which is called Stunner. They're using that rocket as part of the model, what they're proposing. They're proposing, it's not done yet, but they're proposing to the U.S. government as a system for the future. We have very little deployed missile defense in the United States. We have literally nothing on the East Coast, nothing on the Southern Coast. We have in Vanderbilt and then up in Alaska and some in Hawaii. That's about it, and it's not a lot.
Steve Bryan, this is really a yawning problem. Let me switch gears. Important as that subject is, there are several others that you're also intimately familiar with that I'd love to pick your brains about. One is that the administration is evidently considering an investigation into Chinese technology trade practices. It's not entirely clear that it's going to get that going anytime soon, but it does seem warranted. Based on your extensive experience with what others are doing to gain access to our technology, even for militarily relevant purposes, what would you recommend the administration do in that regard?
Well, it's a tough problem because the China trade is very important to a number of Silicon Valley companies, for example. Detroit is heavily involved. The aerospace industry is heavily involved in China. So you have all these U.S. companies trying to get business in China and depending on that expanding market for their future income. And then that's where the rub is, because it's very hard to get Congress or the administration to crack down on some of these Chinese practices when you have so many U.S. companies that are depending on business from China. I think that's a very big problem. I have some specific things I'd like to see. I mean, I think that before any U.S. company goes to China, the U.S. government ought to be fully briefed on what technologies they plan to transfer as part of the deal of going there and decide whether those technologies, whether it's appropriate for those technologies to go to China, because not only are we giving away the trade secrets, but we're also giving away future jobs, because the truth of the matter is that it's very costly to us in both ways.
Well, especially since the Chinese make no secret of their intention to basically rip off that technology and, you know, sell it back to us.
Look at the solar panel industry. Basically, China now owns it. They've destroyed any U.S. business in solar panels just by underpricing, and they're using U.S. technology.
Right. This is a very ominous thing. I'm also concerned, Steve Bryan, as I think you have been over the years, about Chinese investment in this country, among others, that may have national security implications. There's an organization that we're both very familiar with, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, that was created by the Congress basically for the purposes of evaluating these kinds of investments for national security implications. I'm thinking of some transactions that have been launched recently or are still awaiting approval in, for example, the oil sector, Russian and Saudi acquisitions of U.S. oil refineries, the Chinese buying up lots of Silicon Valley companies, including promising startups, even Hollywood, for crying out loud. Rare earth minerals and the like. What is your view, Steve Bryan, of the adequacy of the national security vetting of these kinds of transactions as well?
Well, Frank, you know very well that the Committee on Foreign Investment, the kind of mandate is it says if there's a direct national security threat, then you either refuse to allow the acquisition to take place on the one hand, or alternatively, you make them get rid of some of the sensitive technology so they can't buy it. But it really only applies, you know, mostly it's mostly focused on aerospace and defense, and doesn't really have much to do with the rest of the kind of purchases like the Silicon Valley ones that you've mentioned never come up before the CFIUS. So I think that what really has to happen is to broaden out CFIUS and give it a better mandate. I mean, it's a very important tool, but it's not used as well as it could be.
This may sound like bureaucratic politics, Steve, but we both have spent time in the bureaucracy, so we know that that can be important sometimes. One of my concerns about CFIUS all along has been that not only is the mandate too narrow, but the fact that the Treasury Department is in charge of the organization effectively means that an entity that has never seen a foreign investment it didn't like, as a practical matter, is guarding the chicken coop.
I mean, one of the problems is that mostly it's up to the Defense Department's participation in CFIUS to really make the difference, because, you know, you don't get much help from the Commerce Department, which sits on CFIUS. You don't get much help from the State Department, which never saw a foreign country they didn't like. I mean, so you have this kind of problem. But, I mean, I would much prefer it to be run by the Defense Department, but I doubt that that will happen. I'm not terribly, I mean, I think Treasury has handled it pretty well. I don't think it's a Treasury problem as much as it is the scope of CFIUS tends to be too narrow. And I think that's where the problem is. As long as we're going to be exporting our jobs and exporting our technology, especially to the Far East and especially to China, you know, we're really doing a disservice to America.
Yeah, I think that's a very critical point, but I think it's also necessary that we see what can be done to examine what's being done with these foreign investments that may have, a catalytic effect on all of that as well. Maybe getting the Defense Department co-chairing CFIUS is something Congress ought to consider. Steve, we have to leave it at that for the moment. There's so much more to talk about. I hope you'll come back to us again very soon, and hope the rest of you will come back to us again on Monday. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.